The internet is an essential part of our daily lives and our economy, and as such, cybersecurity is more important than ever. That is particularly true for FINRA, which can process up to 99 billion records in a single day. To ensure that data remains protected, FINRA depends on the expertise of John Brady. Today, John joins us for a look into FINRA's work around cybersecurity and has some tips for our listeners.
Hi, this is FINRA Unscripted, and I'm Mike Rote. I'm here with John Brady in FINRA's studio. John, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, Mike.
So, John, when it comes to cybersecurity at FINRA, you're the guy, okay? Can you tell us and the listeners basically what that means, what you do at FINRA?
So it means I do a lot of things. Cybersecurity is a very complex area, and you know I have a large team, about 50 people, and we cover everything from policies and standards to defining technical controls that prevent bad things from happening in our environment, to governing whether or not those controls and other teams that have to adhere to policies and standards are working the way they should, all those things, and also answering to outside auditors like the SEC and others.
Great. So day-to-day, do you basically walk me through your day a little bit?
At this point, we have a very mature program in place. So my typical day, I'm looking for what's new in terms of threats and attacks out in the environment that we may need to make some adjustments to in terms of our systems and how we defend against them. In terms of policies, like I said, we're a very mature organization with mature programs. So the policies, are just minor tweaks from time to time based on new things happening out there in the world.
Okay, what are some of the biggest issues you're currently seeing?
Well, so there are always new attacks or new, very significant new vulnerabilities in the environment that come into existence. And so what we do with those things is we have a risk-driven program here where we look at what kind of risk those things represent to FINRA, given all the other mitigating and compensating controls that we have in an environment. So if there's a risk, something that's been highlighted in the news or from vendors saying they've got this new patch that we need to apply, we'll look at it. And, I mean, we, in terms of patches, we always apply them, but it's a question of how quickly do we need to apply them? What's the urgency? So if it turns out that patch is for something that no attacker can easily reach given the preventive controls we have in our environment, we'll put that at a low priority and just kind of do it as a part of a normal patch cycle. But if it is something significant that's exposed to the internet, an attacker could potentially start taking advantage of it quickly, then we'll treat that as an urgent matter and address it very quickly.
Okay, so being risk aware and then also prioritizing, would you say that in general, that's how FINRA is managing the cyber wars?
Exactly that, plus we take what we call a defense in depth approach, and what that's all about is there's this concept called the cybersecurity kill chain, and what that really is, that model is that attackers have to go through many steps in order to successfully steal data out of an organization. We'll start with figuring out who they want to target, some early recon on that target to find weaknesses. Then they'll figure out, based on those weaknesses, how to get in. And then once in the environment, they have to find the data that they wish to steal. And then they have to find a way to get the data back out. So all those steps give us the opportunity to detect what they're doing, to prevent what they're doing, and to respond and recover so that if we notice anomalies that are indicative of an attacker, we react to those and we shut them down before they result in any kind of issue for FINRA.
Okay, great. So it sounds like that we've got, things in place to manage all of those steps.
Yep.
That being said, is there anything that keeps you up at night related to this?
I mean, other than my neighbor's dog? So I think FINRA shares the kind of challenges that every organization similar to FINRA does. Retaining key staff is something that I focus hard on. I've got an amazing team that I've built over the years. They're all great people. I don't want to lose any of them. So we're always fighting that battle because it's a hot area. There's a lot of demand for the expertise. I think also the fact that attackers don't sit still. They keep coming up with new ways to attack. And even though we've got a very mature program with very powerful defensive tools in our environment, we constantly have to adjust those. So, you know, I do worry about that. And usually if I wake up in the middle of the night with something on my mind, when I come into the office the next morning, I know what I want my team to go work on.
Great. So, John, you mentioned a little bit about the data environment when you were talking about the various steps. That environment, that data environment has changed.
Yep.
FINRA has been an early adopter in cloud technology, cloud migration. Can you talk a little bit about what impact that's had on cybersecurity?
Sure. So, I mean, first off, we moved to the cloud because it delivered huge benefits to FINRA. You know, we've saved money. We've improved the performance of our processing that we have to do, and especially in terms of market regulation where we handle a very large volume of data. You know, so it was all for the right reasons. And at first, we were an early adopter of this, and there weren't many organizations like FINRA, financial services sector organizations, or even just large enterprises that were adopting cloud. It was mostly small businesses when we got started. So we kind of blazed a path a little bit, both in terms of our use cases, but also figuring out how to secure our data and our environments in the cloud. And, you know, initially we were just aiming to achieve parity with our traditional data centers. But quickly, as we got into the cloud, we realized that we could achieve even higher controls. So if you do it right, cloud is wonderful, both in terms of performance, cost, and security.
Oh, great. Okay, so speaking of, we're going to stick with security here.
Sure.
Do you have some tips for people who are listening, you know, maybe somebody at home? What are some tips to help them remain cybersecure?
Yeah, I'll try to keep it relatively simple. But, you know, it really starts with maintaining your devices, your computer, your phone, your tablet. You want to keep those updated with the latest software from the vendors, because those software updates include fixes for security problems. So first and foremost, you want to do that. Second, you really should run security tools like an antivirus program on your computer. Third, your accounts, especially ones that, you know, are of value to you, your online accounts like your bank, your brokerage, your credit card companies, your PayPal account, things like that. You want to do two things. One, choose good passwords. Make them long, make them relatively complex so they're hard for somebody else to guess, but easy for you to remember. And then if those services offer an extra verification step as part of login, something called two-step verification, where usually they send a random code to your phone that you then have to also enter after entering a password, take advantage of that. Two more things. You know, your email address is often involved in the password recovery mechanisms for all of the websites that you enroll in. So you really have to protect your email account. So if your email vendor offers that two-step verification, definitely take advantage of it, because your email account is key to your whole online security. Okay. And then the fifth thing that I would highlight is just don't be a victim. So when you receive an email, you know, that you weren't expecting, an unsolicited email, you should be very cautious about it, especially if it's asking you to do something, you know, follow a link to a website and verify your credentials or verify personal information. Don't do it, but don't just click on those links. Similarly, there's a lot of scams that start with phone calls or web pop-ups. My mom she lives in Florida, and scammers love to call Florida phone numbers. A couple times a year, she gets a call from somebody claiming to be from Microsoft who's calling her because her computer has a virus and they want to help her fix it. And so they tell her, hey, sit down at your computer and go to this following website. It's a scam, and they're after two things. One, either just to get some money out of her, to have her pay for fixing a computer that's not really broken, or two, they're trying to put malware onto that computer that then would steal her banking credentials. So be cautious about phone calls that you know, don't really make sense and are asking you things that involve your computer, as well as pop-up messages that appear on your computer as you're browsing the web. Those quite often are scams.
Okay, great. So just be on the lookout for anything that seems out of the ordinary.
Absolutely.
Trust your gut when it comes to that.
Definitely trust your gut.
Okay, great. Well, thanks. I mean, I know that the listeners are, you know, that's really all important stuff, and it's very useful information for them. You know, obviously FINRA, you know, working with member firms as well, there's got to be some tips or some resources for those folks.
Absolutely.
Can you let us know what are some of the resources that FINRA has for member firms, the industry?
So FINRA has a great set of cybersecurity resources on its website, so finra.org. Easy way to get there is just go to the finra.org website and in the search box type in cybersecurity. The first result that will come up is a recommended content page on cybersecurity. Follow that link. There's a wealth of resources there from the rules that FINRA has that pertain to cybersecurity at firms to our examination guides, checklists for small firms in terms of how they key things they should be doing to protect customer data and achieving a level of cybersecurity within that small firm. We have a report that we published in 2015, which is more expansive. It's about effective cybersecurity practices that we've seen employed across our industry members. So that's another great resource. And we also have links to other sites, news sites, as well as government resources, other agencies that provide very detailed cybersecurity guidance. So I would encourage our firms to explore that page and all the resources that it contains.
So, I mean, we spend a lot of time putting these resources in place,
yep.
It sounds like.
Yeah.
But why is that important?
Well, so, you know, I've been working with the internet for over 30 years. And it's interesting. You know, 30 years ago, it was just universities and certain government research labs that were just on the internet just to share some data. Here we are 3 decades later, and it's you know, we're immersed in it in our lives. So we bank, we shop, we do everything online. We connect with our friends. Same with businesses. They conduct almost all of their business via the internet, via this connected network. So it's an essential part of our lives and our economy, which is why getting cybersecurity right in this environment is so important.
What is your background? How did you get into this?
Yeah, so I started out, when I got out of college with an electrical engineering degree, I went to work for a company that produces satellites for the Air Force. And I got involved in some really cool projects, like the global positioning system and then a couple classified things that I can't mention here. But the neatest one was a space shuttle replacement called the Advanced Launch Service. And it actually got defunded in the early 90s during the recession. But we did a lot of work not only on rocket design, but also information systems to support sharing the blueprints and all the design data among the various companies that were producing components for this system. And that's where I got involved in information technology and we created basically an early version of the World Wide Web specifically for this advanced launch service. It used, you know, the same protocols and the hypertext markup language for defining content, and we wrote a browser, a universal browser that could navigate all this information and display it for the user. So it was an early incarnation of the internet and kind of, you know, helped me see what was possible. And here I am 30 years later, and it's what I do.
Oh, great. So growing up, you always had an interest in space?
Well, or? You know, every kid growing up in the late 60s, early 70s saw the moon landings and, you know, who didn't want to be an astronaut? But then in the late 70s, there was Jacques Cousteau with his undersea world. So who didn't want to be a marine biologist?
Okay.
So for a while, I wanted to be both of those things, but ended up being an engineer.
Okay.
And a very happy engineer.
Great. Well, great. So can you tell us, when did you join this organization then?
So I joined FINRA in 2002 after a few interesting jobs. I worked for a Silicon Valley large computer company based out there, worked for a large bank, New York Bank, and then an internet startup before I came to FINRA in 2002.
So let's do some fun, a little bit of lightning round here.
Sure.
Are you more of a mobile or desktop user?
More mobile.
More mobile?
Yeah.
Okay. When you do use your desktop, are you a PC or Mac guy?
Well, so both. At work, I'm a PC guy. At home, I'm a Mac guy.
Okay. Do they have like different benefits for each or?
Yeah. I mean, PCs are definitely, and all of the ecosystem around them, work a little better in the business environment.
Okay.
You know, they integrate with all the printers and file servers and emails and services and stuff like that just a little bit better than Macs do. But at home, I love my Mac.
Great. When you read, do you read using, you know, the old book or tablet?
Oh, yeah, a book.
Book.
I got aging eyes, so tablets don't really work for me.
Okay. Well, mention your interest in space. Are you a Star Wars guy or a Star Trek guy?
Both.
Both.
Like them both, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, since you are a cybersecurity professional, looking back, the early days of passwords, et cetera, what's the worst password that you can think of that you used back in the day or maybe that you know of a family member or somebody else using?
Do I really have to answer that? I think like everybody, at some point I had a password that was password and the number one.
Okay.
But that's behind me, way behind me.
Okay, great. What about the you know, the old put your password on your bulletin board or
no,
on your keyboard?
No, I've never had to do that. Or under your blotter, you lift it up. No,
okay.
No, never did that.
All right, smart. Well, John, this was a lot of fun. And I know that, you know, the listeners, there are a lot of great tips and a lot of information. So thank you very much for joining us here.
Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more about FINRA cybersecurity resources for firms or investors, visit us at finra.org/podcasts and visit the page for this episode. Have an idea for a future podcast? Email us at finraunscripted@finra.org or reach out on social media. I'm Mike Rote, and this is FINRA Unscripted.